This is For Advisors by Advisors. I'm your host, Evan J. Mayer. And today, we have a very special guest from a company that I've been wanting to interview on here since we got started just a month ago. And luckily, we have him today. This is Chris Quantz from Riskalyze.
Hey.
Oh, they're excited for you, Chris.
I love that. That's fantastic. Hey, Evan, thanks for having me on the podcast here. This is fantastic.
Yeah, absolute pleasure, and I'm glad to have you on. And by the way, what a name, Quants, for what we do. It's just like, yeah. You know, when they hired him, they must have been like, you know, good-looking guy, speaks really well, going to be able to help market us, and his last name is Quants. What's better than that?
I've been told that a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, that's still the deal. And he's the success enablement manager for Riskalyze. And Chris has been with Riskalyze pretty much halfway through its existence. I think it got started in 2011. I believe you joined in 16. Am I right about that?
Right at the beginning of 16, yeah. So we were just had about 100 people, just a little under 100 people at that point working for Riskalyze. So, yeah.
And now about 250, I think, right?
We're getting there. Yeah. We're getting there. So it's grown, it's expanded, and how the product has expanded over those years. It's been really exciting to see. We compared to being on a rocket ship, man, it's just been a crazy ride.
Yeah. It's an exceptional product. And the reason I wanted to invite you on was because I'm a humongous fan of the software. And whenever anybody, like one of the guys that I have had on the podcast early on, who's pretty big into LinkedIn, wrote something about joining, you know, that he finally found Riskalyze at a conference. Yeah. And he was like, and I was like, oh, that is so awesome. So first and foremost, big shout out to Craig Weinstein, who's a user of Riskalyze. He about 2 years ago, we were talking about our practices and what we do. And he's like, I got this Riskalyze software. It's phenomenal. And it walks me through all this portfolio management. And I'm like, let me look at this thing. And then when I got looking at it, yeah, the portfolio analytical tools were great. But I think what makes me the most excited thing is you guys actually put a number on it. And that's a phrase, but that should be your tagline. We put a number on it. But the concept of risk for clients is that by putting somebody in a bucket of five, and there's a couple of other competitors that are going to be, you know, they're trying to build software like yours. And when they build it, and two of them have asked me to look at it prior. And when I looked at it, I said, you're missing out still. You got one of these five buckets. I said, you got to put an actual number on it. And what Riskalyze does that I think is just ultra phenomenal is that you put a number on a client's risk tolerance and it will fit into the financial plan of MoneyGuide Pro and some of these other softwares that are out there. But what I also love is that you don't look at a stock portfolio and go, you know, hey, that's a moderate aggressive portfolio or an aggressive portfolio because it's all in stocks. You actually break down the positions.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so interesting that you say that. And kind of in the early days, you know, I've heard the stories like that was kind of a huge debate. Like, is it a single number? Can we put a number on this? So yeah, it is an interesting way to approach it for sure.
Yeah, so it's absolutely phenomenal. And like I said, you can look at a bond or a structured note. I think you guys had teamed up with Halo. Are you guys still teamed with Halo?
Yep. Yeah, for our structured note products.
Yeah, so it's very neat because it will actually give you the risk tolerance. And what I love about it, and just so everybody understands, you know, Tesla might have an implied volatility of a where it will score it on Riskalyze as a 99, where it might take a Johnson & Johnson stock, which is, I believe, at a 68 last I looked at it, and it's significantly less risky than Johnson & Johnson. It looks at the actual specific holdings of each of the accounts.
Yeah. And that's kind of one of the, I like to say, putting the feet and inches into risk tolerance, right? Because we have these subjective terms in our industry, like moderately aggressive, moderately conservative. And, you know, that could mean something different to me than it does to you, than it does to the next person that walks in the room, right? Like, what does that mean? And so you don't have a contractor that said, you know, I want you to build a moderately aggressive hallway to a conservative dining room. Like, what does that look like? It's up to their interpretation. So let's put a number to this, again, to kind of help quantify that and just create these common talking points. And, you know, I talked to a ton of advisors said, you know, this coming in there gives me an easy way. Like, I don't have to talk about beta or alpha or Sharpe ratio. I can just show somebody like this. And the common analogy that we get is it looks like a speed limit sign, right? So how fast, let's get a number of how fast you're comfortable traveling. And let's see then, like I said, that tells half the story, right? Like, okay, you're comfortable going to 55. Well, 55 in relation to what? Okay, now let's, like you're saying, get to those individual investments in your portfolio and let's get a risk number for that. How does that speed compared to how you're comfortable traveling? And then let's have the conversation around that.
It's absolutely phenomenal. So I'm going to stop highlighting it for a quick second, just ask some questions. And then I do want to kind of jump back and forth on the advisor side of things. But Chris, tell us a little bit about the history of Riskalyze. I've seen it's been out since 2011. When it was created, kind of progression over the last 11 years, and then what you also see for the future of the company.
Yeah, absolutely. So history, basically that started, if we want to go back to kind of the original origin story, it started between a conversation between two friends, our co-founders, Aaron Klein and Mike McDaniel, Aaron Klein, CEO of Riskalyze, and Aaron was working for an option trading company at the time. And he and Mike were just having a conversation. Mike was the financial advisor. And Aaron said, you know, it's just crazy how individuals approach risk. And Mike said, you think that's crazy? You see how financial advisors approach the concept of risk. And so that idea just kind of percolated for a couple of years. And then, around 2011, they got together and decided, you know, we could probably put a prototype of this together. Because basically, you know, Mike's saying, you know, we need a way to help clients understand in a short term, just build out this framework to how to understand and react to risk appropriately. And then basically the idea how we formulated out of that is to turn a fearful investor who makes bad short-term decisions into a fearless investor who makes great long-term decisions. And those decisions step-by-step can help us reach those long-term financial goals. And so that's where the framework of Riskalyze came in 2011, got a prototype out there. And it was actually, interestingly enough, it was originally formatted for the individual mom and pop investors. And that's kind of how they proved the concept of Riskalyze. And Aaron, they were trying to get to some bigger firms and it just wasn't taken. And Aaron says he calls it his Apollo 13 moment in 2012, was flying back from a meeting and they had proven the risk number, had a lot of money on the risk number, but how do we monetize this more? And he said, you know, basically, if you remember in the movie Apollo 13, when things are just going like crazy and Gene Kranz, the flight director, says, well, what do we have on the spacecraft that's good? And so Aaron kind of wrote that down and said, hey, what do we have a good? And he said, we've proven this risk number. And the idea of now, like, this could really help with financial advisors talking to their clients. And they said, we've got some few months of money left in the bank. Let's just regear everything towards that, towards the financial advisor. And, you know, the rest is history. You know, about 10 years later down the road, it's been really cool to see the climb that's happened.
The one negative of Riskalyze when I first started using it was the speed. And what I've noticed over the last few months is that you guys were able to fix that. My gut tells me that the growth in the last 3 years has been significant for Riskalyze and that caught up with you guys. Am I right? That's my conspiracy theory on it.
No, you're right on. So your conspiracy websites are correct, but it was, you know, the internet three, four years ago, as we see, is ever evolving and ever changing. And the framework that was built on back then, eventually things catch up. And so we have absolutely retooled from the bottom up just to say, hey, how can we load things to where the advisor surfaces, sees what they need to see? Because all these portfolio information, all this information doesn't all have to just jump at you at the same time. Like, let's get what's theirs first and all the calculations that are happening in the background, those can come in later. So getting a little nerdy and technical there, but the team really did take a look at that and just kind of retooled and how can we do this better? And that's part of the thing is just when you're trying to innovate, you're trying to do what's best, not only for your client, your end product user, your consumer, but like, how can we also disrupt even more and come in here and even be even a more valuable tool for advisors to use? So absolutely right. We're doing that and getting to the end of that project here. And we call it PC. This is the seventh iteration of the portfolio experience inside of Riskalyze. So it's kind of crazy to think of how many iterations we've had throughout the years. But yeah, that's where we're at and loading even faster now. So we're really excited about that.
It's smart. And I don't know if you have an advisory panel. If you don't, you should, because the one thing is that when you're sitting with the client, you want that risk numbers to come up quick. And luckily you guys did fix it. It used to take a little long and they were like, be patient, we'll be patient. And I'm like, I'm being patient. but you know what? Now it loads within a minute. And there's sometimes some of my portfolios where there's hundreds of positions. And so, and that's the important thing is that you know, initially, I think the speed was set up if you had a mutual fund wrap, and now it's set up no matter how you manage money, which is very important.
Absolutely. Portfolio sizes change. They vary depending on your money managers, what you're using, exactly how they're built out, and it needs to be able to fit and accommodate all of that. And they're getting a little bit bigger. That's fine. It does need to be that because you're absolutely right. Like one of the reasons that the heart, I think, and the heart and soul of Riskalyze is to be client-facing. Now, yes, we have analytics that I say, hey, these are helping advisors prep for that meeting. So if you're thinking about stats or individual security analysis, something like that. But really at the heart, I want clients to just see this and understand and get it. And you're right, like it needs to be there so that we're not just like making small talk while we watch this little wheel spin.
Yeah.
Although small talk isn't bad, but you know, you kind of want to like, all right, here's, we're in this mode. Let's talk about this.
Absolutely. One of the things I want to touch base on too, which again is, you would think is a small thing, but to us as advisors, it's such a huge thing, is risk tolerance questionnaires, in my opinion, historically have always been, for lack of a better word, stupid. And what I mean by stupid is that, you know, one of the questions would be for a client, was this money short or long term? And a client would look at their age and go, well, I'm 65 and so it's short term. And you go, well, no, that's not quite what I meant, but you can't answer it any different. And then some of the other questions on there would be like, you know, how do you feel if you lost 25% of your money tomorrow, good or bad? Yeah. Well, I feel bad. Okay, then you're moderate conservative by the way you answer that. What I really love is your risk tolerance questionnaire. I want to just jump in and then get your thoughts on it. But sure. First and foremost, you can email it to a client and it's compliance approved and they have the ability to answer that right away. And it's great to do right before meetings. Preferably though, specifically on the first one, I like to do it with the client in person. And part of the reason I like to do it with the client in person is I want to make sure that they're reading the questions right on not only what the client is willing to see on a loss, but what that would do to their average annual rate of return. And the questions have nothing to do with time horizon. They simply have to do with your ability to take risk and what kind of risk that is. And so for me as an advisor, I normally would do some sort of an education on specifically a new client on what investments are and how they work from layman terms to, you know, exotic options traders, to then jumping into this so that they understand how the risk mitigation software actually works. Yeah. And what I love most about it, I would say, again, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but you know, there's that old show, Let's Make a Deal, that was on TV, not the Howie Mandel version, the other version.
Yeah,
and you got to make a deal between A or B. And you get to sit there and actually have that conversation with the client. Can you talk a little bit about how you guys created that and the concept around it?
Yeah, a lot of testing went into that, and exactly right. Like, well, if you were a car, what kind of type of car would you be? And I know we're using a speed limit example, but like, let's get that a little bit more in and really helping folks understand like, hey, emotional, Riskalyze was founded on the idea of prospect theory that like we react to things in the short term, right? And those emotional reactions are the number one sabotagers of our long-term financial goals. And so let's help you understand based on your investment amount. So like, hey, how much do we have to invest here? How much are we working with here? I use the example often, like, you know, if Warren Buffett took the questionnaire and it was $10,000, he'd probably come out probably a little risky on that, right? But if there's an amount that's really significant to a family, we're seeing that there's a relationship. Yes, we love the upside and that's really great, but you got to understand there's two sides to that coin. And so where are we going? And I like to say another thing that for those familiar with the questionnaire, there's a little slider bar there that just gets your initial how comfortable based on your investment amount, you know, there's the upside, but also with the actual dollar amount. We're not just talking percentages here. We're talking about a dollar amount. So it kind of makes it really real for you. At what point, I don't know if you remember The Price is Right, where the little yodeler guy's going up the mountain. At what point is he going to fall off the mountain for you where you're like, can't take it anymore. I'm off the mountain. And so we did a lot of research on that. Originally, we had two versions of that questionnaire, the simple and the detailed. Some advisors love the detailed. I've heard advisors call it my lie detector test. For clients. And we got a lot of feedback throughout the years that said, you know, the details, sometimes their eyes cross a little bit depending on who the client is. And the simple, man, I wish there was a little bit more meat on those bones. So we have what's called the next gen risk assessment that you're talking about, Evan. And that really is kind of like, hey, let's make this easy enough for clients to understand. And by the way, I love, and that's one of my best practices, is the first time you're taking it through it with them, just be there just to offer guidance. Not that you're telling them how to answer, but hey, any clarification that needs to come through so you get the concept. Like I always say, like people come to you like you're a doctor. They're getting the second opinion so many times, especially with prospects. Like help me kind of confirm maybe what I'm feeling uneasy. Doctor, it hurts when I do this, right? And then the joke is, well, then don't do that. But like maybe here's why. And then the let's make a deal. Like let's go through that and see, here's the option that you have to choose. I've been wearing glasses, I wear contacts now, but I always use the optometrist. Like what looks better to you, A or B, A or B? And you are making those decisions now. So we did a lot of research through our next gen risk assessment to get a little bit more meat on those bones that gives the advisor information.
It's but perfect.
Also helps the client easily go through it. Yeah. So
I think it's perfect. I think it does everything. The only thing I would say that maybe change a little bit is just change the numbers a tad bit on A, because sometimes, you know, you'll get through three questions as the same A. But I know why you're doing it. You're wanting them to eventually get to B. Mm-hmm. And so I know that the math makes sense. And by the way, I fully agree with Chris, with him fully agreeing with me, that you should do it with the client the first time. But I also think what's important to add on there is that you make it clear to the client that you're not going to answer the questions for them. So you're just there to read it to them and to explain it to them so that it's an actual thorough risk tolerance questionnaire that they can do. So I just wanted to add that on because I think that's somewhat important.
Well, and I'll tell you, and if I could add this in real quick, I use this example often. It's also when you're talking to households, it's also just a great conversation starter. I use my wife and I as an example. We've actually gone through this. Our advisor uses Riskalyze. I had to have that prerequisite in there. But, you know, I knew my wife is more pedal to the metal than me. But again, making it more quantitative, I come in. So my number is about a 72. For those that are listening, the S&P in the time that I've been at Riskalyze, just for a point of reference, the S&P has been anywhere between like a 75 and a 78 is where it's been about there. So I'm a little under the S&P. My wife, now I'll just give you, maybe you can guess what my wife's number is going to be here. So for Christmas, she got us a couple skydiving event where we're just going to jump out of a perfectly good plane strapped to somebody we don't know, I guess. And she got it off of Groupon. So let's send that to the lowest bidder. She came in at a 94. Now are we going to invest as a 94? Are we going to invest as a 72? Probably somewhere in between there, but at least it gets the conversation started and we can start to go from there again with that education piece and helping them understand.
Yeah. And I think one of the things I always ask the client is, which one of you is the watcher, I call it. And there's always one out of two that is watching the statements more. And my contention is that, you know, if the watcher is the higher risk tolerance one, we'll lean a little bit more towards the higher risk tolerance one because that person can handle it. Where if the watcher is the lower risk tolerance one, well we're going to go a little bit more towards wherever the watcher goes. And the reason is because the non-watcher is not watching the volatility while the watcher's watching the volatility.
So. Who's going to get freaked out the most and who's going to pull the ripcord, you know, the quickest and get out? You're absolutely right.
Yeah, if you're an advisor on this podcast and you're not using Riskalyze, consider it a try. I think you'll like the dynamic of how you can work with the client. That's one of the things it does, by the way. The second thing it does is it actually breaks down the portfolio and gives it an actual risk score per account, per position, and per overall. And then it also has a GPA score. Can you talk a little bit about how the GPA score works and the analytics behind that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's basically GPA is an efficiency metric and people are thinking GPA like school GPA. You're absolutely right. So the GPA range is from 1.0 to extra credit is all the way up to 4.3. So if you're thinking kind of like in school, like we want to make it relatable, again, being a visual thing that people can relate to. So 1.0 is Bueller, and all the way up to extra credit. Now we like to say about 3.5 or higher is head of the class. Most advisors that I talk to like to see it around a 3.7 or higher. And so I absolutely, that's fine. And it's basically an efficiency metric. So kind of like the joke for a long time is we call it Riskalyze, not Returnalyze for a reason, because like, yes, returns are great, but I really want to see where at that point at which you're going to capitulate and you're going to basically sabotage your long-term investing. So we can talk returns, right? But that does play an effect into it, right? And so I call this another tool in the advisor's tool belt to say, basically, how much return are we getting per unit of risk in this portfolio? And that's based on dividends and expense ratios and that potential annual return are the kind of the metrics that go into that. But basically saying, hey, not, let's just say that a portfolio that comes in at a risk number 52, for instance, not all of those portfolios are created equally. So if you have, let's say, a prospect that comes in and maybe they go through the questionnaire and they're in the 50s and you bring in their portfolio that's being managed outside by somebody else, and that comes in maybe close, it's not this vast different, but maybe the GPA is something where you say, yeah, that's okay, but we can actually bring in another portfolio here that's still going to be close to your risk tolerance, but we're actually building you out a more efficient portfolio to make sure that we're staying on track, not only with your expectations of where risk and return come from, but also saying, let's get you a more efficient portfolio that's going to help us maintain and stay on track to meet those long-term goals.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, now I might use it a lot because right now my GPA is at like 4.1 for my clients. And so they're pretty happy to see that. They're, nobody's happy today, but they're happy to see that it's being efficient, correct? So, talk about your expansion. I'm an independent advisor. Mm-hmm. So I was able to utilize your software. And, you know, part of my argument is that when you are independent or you go RIA, you have a little bit of flexibility on the softwares you can use. How are the banks and the institutions starting to finally, are they finally coming to you guys and saying, you know, the independent space has been raving about you, we want in?
Yeah, so we have, we've been having some of those larger conversations now. Just I'll throw out a few names. Cetera is one of them that we recently were able to talk about recently about having folks be using that and kind of going firm-wide there. So yeah, that's one of the focuses, and we're talking about in the future, is like, how do we become a firm-wide solution? So we're in the Reg BI environment, right? And so, you know, it's kind of boring to talk about regulations and all that, but really how RiskAlyze can help these bigger firms make sure that we're quantifying that risk tolerance, that we're checking off that box. So that's one of the areas that we're expanding into too. We've got RiskAlyze trading. So really, you know, advisors are making decisions inside of RiskAlyze. So how can we then help them move that onto the custodial platform? So that's been around for a few years now, but it, you know, still going in that way with trading as well. But yeah, really helping it become, we like to say that desktop solution for firms to be in that. One of the things that we're kind of talking about that firm-wide is we're calling it command center. So those home office levels can now say, hey, I've got my advisors in here and I can just quickly at a glance, just look at the clients and how their risk number lines up with their account objectives, et cetera, and have a firm-wide view into that. So that's something that we've recently expanded to, is that command.
That's probably really exciting. I as a supervisor, I would be really into that because I think that you at least can put, like you said, put a number on it, right? Exactly. You can put a number on the client and their success. Let's talk about the third piece. The third piece is also interesting because this is where I think firms are trying to, trying to develop a software that's like yours, but yours does go into all the analytics that an advisor wants to see that maybe a client does not want to see. And it breaks down everything from mutual funds, ETFs, individual stocks, individual bonds, preferreds are in there. The structured notes are in there. I think that part of the software is actually revolutionary as well and very easy to use. Better than any of the other softwares I've seen out there. Can you talk a little bit about that leg?
Yeah, our data team, we lock them in a closet back in the back room there and have I crush the numbers. That's something that we put a lot of time and effort into that. And that's something that has definitely expanded out, especially with the bond coverage, with the structured note coverage, like we said, partnering with Halo early on to make sure that we've got more data and analytics feeding into that. And we've got our data and analytics team that, you know, getting those REITs in, getting those alternative investments in, that's something that we've recognized, like the more that we can help put a risk number to that. And I talked to so many advisors that are like, hey, I like the fact that I have this, what I call an objective third party that's coming in that's agnostic, right? So we're not saying like a risk 99 or a risk number one, like that's, it is what it is now, not saying one's good or bad or indifferent, how comfortable are we taking those risks? So our data platform is something that we've invested a lot in to really expand that coverage. So when an advisor puts that in And again, we're looking at the individual security level. We can check that off. And our most, I call it our shiniest new object is discovery. So many, like one of the top feature requests I got is like, hey, I'm inside of Riskalyze. I just want to be able to search based on risk number, based on that GPA, based on market cap size, based on stock mutual fund ETF. SMAs are in there now that you can search by. Just making it easier for the advisor to now say, hey, how can I better pick funds and rebalance and use Riskalyze as a tool for that? And we try to make it a little bit more visually appealing and easier to do a fund screen search than maybe some of the traditional ones as well.
That's great, actually. I mean, I don't do a ton of mutual funds, but for those advisors that do, being able to find one that fits the risk tolerance and the sector that they want to be in, or the capitalization sector that they want to be in is a style box more. Is a phenomenal thing. That's already been released. That's already out there.
It's called Discovery. So if you're a Riskalyze user, it's at the top of your screen. Click on it, and it'll open up another window there. And out of the investment universe, you start with all the investments, and then you can just filter down from there what you're looking for. A lot of different screens in there that we can filter through.
Chris, what are you guys working on next? What do we not know that you can share a little snippet?
I'll tell you what. So one of the things that really helps advisors in their workflow is integrations. And so we are deepening and looking into deepen our integrations so that the advisor in their tech, especially, you know, firm-wide too, but, you know, independent advisors, like kind of like, this is my tech stack and man, would it be great if we could have these talk to each other better. We have a thing called study groups in here, which are kind of think of them like small mastermind groups where advisors are just in a room. I'm using room in air quotes because it's a Zoom meeting, but just talking with our product team, we bring our product managers into that. I'm like, hey, what we like to say, if you were king or queen of Riskalyze for a day, what would you do? And integrations is one of the ones that we hear most frequently. So working on deepening our integrations with our integration partners and looking for new integration partners as well to make sure that the advisor's tech stack is covered is one of the things. And then Command Center, again, really helping home office be able to have a view and really expanding those capabilities out there to our roadmap for end of this year and going into next year.
Yeah, I see that. I definitely see that being huge for firms and employee firms, specifically wirehouses, banks, things along those lines.
Exactly.
That could be a significant game changer for them. And we are lucky. I am affiliated with a firm that does have that ability where my accounts are automatically connected, which is a nice feature. Yeah. And I do know you guys are using Plaid, which obviously, you know, there's some issues with getting full, you know, accounts to connect there. So yeah, that would be my feedback too, I guess. The more we can get any outside accounts connected easier, the better.
Well, exactly. Using Plaid for what we call internally, it's asset sync. So those accounts that aren't underneath the advisor's management, just another way to get a more holistic view of the portfolio in there so we can get a risk number, like you said, an aggregated risk number.
Yeah, 100%. And it comes in tremendously, tremendously helpful. Chris, I say this on every one of the podcasts, and sometimes I wish when I was interviewed, people would give this to me. You're at the end of this call, and you're thinking, man, there's some advisors out there, you know, how does Riskalyze take us to the next level? Or is there something out there to the audience? This podcast is for advisors by advisors. It's to every advisor out there. What do you got?
I talk to so many advisors who talk about Riskalyze. There's three basic things that really help. One's kind of the more boring side, but it really is growing their business, setting great expectations to retain their business. And then again, if the SEC, God forbid, ever comes knocking, a way for advisors to show that they are acting in their client's best interest, that their fiduciary box is being checked. We actually had a story of an advisor who got audited by the SEC. And basically at the end, after they looked through Riskalyze, looked at the client list, the auditor actually gave the advisor a referral, one of their family members, just based off of how they were organized. So really that the idea of creating curiosity around that risk number, growing the business with those prospects, again, using things like stress tests and scenarios to set in the 95% historical range to set those expectations with your current clients. So don't know if you noticed, it's been a bit choppy this year. So clients have an expectation that yes, there is the upside, but we need to talk about the downside and starting the conversation around risk. Aaron, our CEO, says, I believe we're in the risk first decade, right? We've seen some things happen, the pandemic, you know, Russia invading Ukraine, bonds and interest rates and everything like that. So really starting the conversation around risk. And we like to say that, you know, not having a risk solution these days is kind of like not having a computer on your desk in the early 2000s. Like, Like it's something, it needs to be there, and we're happy to be able to help fill that space.
Well, I will be first and foremost, and since I'm the only other person on this podcast, can be the only one that will say this, but I am internally grateful to you, your company, Aaron, and everybody else that created this. It took me, who is a certified financial planner, somebody that really takes my practice seriously. I was not doing risk tolerance questionnaires for the last 2, 3, 4 years because I would do them, but they didn't mean much because at the end of the day, they were, in my opinion, they were asking the wrong questions. And not only are you guys asking the right questions, you're determining what an actual risk tolerance score is. You're developing it into what their current holdings are, and then you're allowing the advisor to potentially improve it. And to me, that is everything. And I just want to say thank you. I'm so excited I found it. Again, shout out to my buddy Craig that found it for me. And the goal of this podcast is to share great things with other advisors. And I hope this podcast did that today. So Chris, thanks so much. If anybody wants to reach you or reach somebody at Riskalyze, how can they get a hold of Riskalyze or you?
Absolutely. So riskalyze.com. And by the way, Evan, thank you for allowing us to serve you and your firm. Like that's what we say. Our mission statement is to create fearless investors. And we say that our advisors are doing heroic work out there by helping create those fearless investors. So thank you so much. And thanks for the opportunity for being here. But yeah, riskalyze.com. If you haven't checked us out, check us out there. We've got all of our resources listed there. If you want to learn more about the product, have a conversation with one of our team members to get a demo for that. If you're using Riskalyze, riskalyze.com/training. We've aggregated all of our resources right there for you. So you can get a hold of a coach. You can see all of our online resources. And then a lot of folks have like, hey, what's the methodology behind Riskalyze? riskalyze.com/methodology. We've got a lot of our white papers there. So if you want some light Saturday morning reading, saying that sarcastically, a little wink there, but it really does curate a lot of the questions on what goes behind the Riskalyze engine there. So a lot of great resources for you there.
Excellent, Chris. Thank you so much. And advisors out there, hopefully you enjoyed today's podcast. We're going to have some other people on from some other companies in the future. But to me, this is a company I've been using for a long time. And like I said, it does a great job for the clients. And even during times like this, when the market happens to be down, revisiting the risk score and risk tolerance and having those client conversations obviously is a huge benefit. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. You know how to find us. You can email me at foradvisorsbyadvisors@gmail.com. Or you can find me on LinkedIn and message me there. Happy to answer any questions, get anybody in contact with Chris or his team. So Chris, thanks again. And we'll see you on the next podcast.
Thanks, Evan. Appreciate the opportunity.